Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk about local college sports this morning. Scott Majowski is here, the Commissioner of Revenue in the real world, and Corey Roberts, the head of the Fredericksburg Regional Alliance in the real world. But today we get to talk sports, as we try to do at least a few times every year. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Ted.
Good to have you here.
Good to be here. I'm a little tired. I was up watching the Steelers-Ravens game last night.
I was too.
That was a fantastic football game.
It was a horrible finish.
Just thrilling.
So who won? I went to bed.
The Ravens missed a makeable field goal to win. Would have won the game by a point. Missed it.
Well, and it was, they had a shot to win because the Steelers kicker, who's probably the best kicker
in
football.
Yeah, he never missed.
Missed an extra point.
Yeah.
So that left him up by two, and then the Ravens come down, and their kicker, rookie kicker, missed a 44-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Which they're not used to having.
Justin Tucker was there for years, who never missed. And that was a playoff game because it was a fun game. It was terrible as a Ravens fan to see that happen.
Yeah, the happiest person in America was DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
Because that got him off the hook.
That, as far as a, because he was suspended for the last two games of the season because of an incident in Detroit. And what a mean, because they lost in Cleveland last week.
Yeah.
And you look at suspensions that were really meaningful. That
was huge.
What is it? He also got fined, right?
Yeah, I can't remember what the fine was.
Did they ever get to the bottom of what transpired between them?
Well, the fan had a really bizarre press conference and makes me question what's happening in Detroit, seeing somebody like that.
He was the fan was unhinged.
Completely unhinged. But DK's just got to be a professional and ignore that kind of stuff.
I can't believe he need to walk away.
I can't believe you can hear a fan when you're on an NFL bench.
Right.
But apparently you can.
And then, and I think the announcers were correct. There was a security person standing right there who did nothing.
Yeah.
Which was odd.
Yeah.
Because, normally they will get between fans and a player if it's getting out of hand.
Well, it was the game before that where DK Metcalf just started picking up cornerbacks and throwing them on his way to the end zone. So I'm not getting in the way of him when he's on a mission.
I never thought of it, though, that just get him off the hook. Because, boy, they don't go make the playoffs, and all of a sudden you're looking at him.
Oh, over that.
And now they're in the playoffs with a highly motivated DK Metcalf. That could be very interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Well, I actually wanted the Steelers to lose, not because I really care all that much, because we just hired their cornerback coach, Anthony Mitchett.
Oh, I didn't realize
who played at Tech for Frank Beamer. And
so you'd like to get him to Blacksburg right now and
sooner rather than later.
Coaching and recruiting.
Yeah, that's about the last major hire, I think, of what James Franklin needs to do to build out his staff.
Are we going to review the predictions we made preseason?
God. Oh, I would like to.
Can anybody remember them?
I wanted to go back and get some of the audio, and I didn't have the time. Because, I did want to. Because the last time I saw Curry went through the schedule and was excited about the coaches, and that lasted like was about the third week of the season. Second,
two games.
Two games in.
Lasted two games.
And
it was. I mean, you set it really unraveled the second half of the Vanderbilt game. The kids just checked out. They didn't have any faith, and so then you get ODU the next week, who turned out to be pretty good.
It did, but
with a really good quarterback.
It's a really good quarterback.
Yeah,
in the transfer portal.
He went to Wisconsin.
Oh, he did.
He signed with Wisconsin.
I was watching the ODU game that night, and by the second half, I kept commenting. I think I even texted you to say that the Lane Stadium right now looks like Scott Stadium because everybody had left. And I thought,
it didn't look exactly like Scott Stadium because it was the second half. At least they showed up in the beginning. Okay. I mean, you guys still couldn't sell the place out with a really good team.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
I just learned who Lane Stadium was named after.
Yeah, Lane Furniture.
I had no idea. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. Ed Lane.
I had no idea.
And he didn't graduate from Tech. He went 2 years, and I think he had to go home and take care of the business, and ended up. And all the Lanes went to Tech except Ed's oldest son, who used to tell this story that his dad told him if he didn't go to Tech, he wasn't going to pay for it, so he got himself admitted to the Naval Academy.
Oh.
Wow.
Because he couldn't afford to go, couldn't afford to go anywhere if he didn't get into the Naval Academy.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I had no idea. But, no, as soon as James Franklin was fired at Penn State, you started hearing rumors that the Tech would be interested, and I, as a UVA fan, hoped that that wouldn't happen, and it did. And he's a good fit there.
Yeah, how all that transpired was just fascinating, because it all started with Bud Foster simply calling him because he knew him, mm-hmm. and saying, you know, sorry you got fired, think you got a bad deal, and just wanted to reach out, and oh, by the way, we have a job. And that's how the whole conversation started. And the two lead guys on the Board of Visitors were kind of hammering Franklin to make a decision. I mean, they flew down to see him. And he's got a place on that lake in Georgia that all the coaches go to. And the two board members were really pushing him to make a decision. And, you know, Bud just told him to back off. Let him, you know, sort of coach. Let a coach analyze what he wants to do here. And he even called Frank Beamer to ask if it was okay to take the job, which was a classy move. But over the holidays, he was traveling. I don't know if you've seen, there's this video where he's in a hotel lobby somewhere, and there's a Tech graduate who walks over to him and says, Coach, my younger brother is not a football player. He's trying to decide about whether to go to Florida or Tech. Would you mind giving him a call? And Franklin says, sure, dial him up. So goes to voicemail, and Franklin says, this is James Franklin, head football coach at Virginia Tech. I'm sorry you didn't pick up. You need to come to Blacksburg. And, oh, by the way, I guarantee you do not have a voice message from the football coach at Florida.
Yeah.
So apparently the kid called his brother back and said, I want a $500,000 in NIL, and I'll be right there.
Right. When we come back, we'll get into the portal stuff. But it's just been amazing to me in the last few days where you see players either announcing that they're going or even if they're announcing that they're staying.
Yeah.
It's just – every year it gets bigger and bigger. And they've got to do something about it, but – we'll talk about it when we come back. Curry Roberts, Scott Majowski here this morning. College football, our focus, main focus this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Curry Roberts and Scott Majowski in this morning is where we're talking sports. So let's jump into it. The portal. You can't go anywhere or look anywhere if you're any kind of a college or a sports fan to see who's staying and who's leaving. And in most cases, a lot of these kids are all leaving, I guess, looking for better deals or more money.
When you said let's jump into the portal, I thought you were announcing that you were entering the portal.
That's not a bad idea.
Are there
idea.
Radio stations that are going to be bidding for your services?
Do it in April.
the retirement portal?
Yeah, the retirement portal. Head first.
It is hard to like college athletics anymore.
Okay. Ironically, I think with the portal, I mean, look who's in the playoffs. Look at the Final Four teams.
Oh, it is.
Okay. The portal, it ironically, is leveling the playing field.
If you do know how to do it, because Virginia did.
You can't be like an Alabama anymore and stack, you know, three blue chippers in a single position because they won't stay. So it's going to be incredibly fluid. And I think now you have to have a balanced approach. You know, Dabo refuses to really play the portal game, mm-hmm. and it's costing him.
Yeah.
If you – and James Franklin at his press conference said, look, this year I'm going to have to use the portal more than I want to, simply because I got to fill some holes. But you live by the portal, you die by the portal. And you can have – look at Florida State. Yeah. Talk about epic failure using the portal. They're you know, Exhibit A. So you've got these two schools who wanted to leave the ACC, and neither of them did much of anything this year.
Right.
Florida State didn't even make a bowl game. Half of Clemson's team wouldn't play in their bowl game. So if the two extremes don't work, totally using the portal doesn't work, and just simply still trying to build a team, as Scott was pointing out on the break, doesn't work. So you have to figure out how to have a balance. And the teams that figure out how to have a balance, I think, are the ones that are going to make the playoffs.
So I guess my question, though, is it leveling the playing field, or is it just altering the playing field? Because now it's not everybody has access to the money that an Indiana does or a Michigan or Ohio State does. So I don't know that it's going to level anything. It might just move some of the players around.
I think you're going to have 30 teams, 35 teams that are going to maybe 40. They're going to financially afford to play the game. And then you're going to have situations like James Madison, where the only way they've been able, and this is not a knock on them, they've mm-hmm. done a great job, mm-hmm. but they've also got the highest athletic fees for their student body of any school in the country. And so, yeah, are they disadvantaged under this scenario? Sure. At some point, though, there's going to be a cap. You're going to reach a point where there's just, wait a minute. We can't be spending this kind of money. And I think that's coming, where you're going to have salary caps. You're going to have contracts. The contracts are going to say you can't opt out of the bowl games. At some point, that's what's going to happen. When's that going to happen? I don't know.
But I'm wondering if a salary cap, that would cap the amount of money the schools give them. But there's no way to cap the amount of money that the boosters give them.
You could. There is a way to do that.
Okay.
You can't. I mean, think about it. Boosters can't recruit. That's an NCAA violation.
No.
So if you.
But if I own a car dealership and I want a certain quarterback, well, I'm going to pay him $5 million a year to just come every weekend and wave to everybody for half an hour. And there's no way to. I don't know if there's any way to stop that.
I'm sure there is. There's probably a contractual way to do it.
You do think that there has to be contractually something, because we just can't have free agents every year. And I think, like you said, Curry, of having a contract of a certain length of where you
what you do in the pros.
Yeah,
you can't declare a free agency every year. So I think that's coming, and I think where it'll come out of is these schools hire GMs.
Mm-hmm.
Those GMs are going to get together and write a set of rules. That's what I think is going to happen. And you may have teams that refuse to sign it, and if they refuse to sign it, don't play them.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about the role the GMs are going to play in kind of sorting out this mess, but you're right. They're the ones who have to deal with this every year, and a lot of them are coming from the professional ranks, so they know this is insane.
Right.
Yeah, so maybe that is the way out, because it's just bizarre right now.
And I don't know how coaches can deal with it. Because you're not only recruiting to get them there, then you got to keep them there.
Well, that's why they're all getting GMs.
Yeah.
Because they can't. You can't run the program and deal with, you know, basically an ununionized players organization at the same time. You've got to bring in professional management to do that. And, you know, I think the good news, I think, out of Tech getting James Franklin, we didn't just get James Franklin, we got his whole management staff. They all came with him.
Yeah.
And Penn State had done a pretty good job managing their way through the portal. We got lucky. It's just that Penn State, I think, made a really bad decision.
Well, and something I think, Scott, you talked about, I think we talked about this this offer, the whole idea of building a team and sitting there on Saturdays thinking, or, you know, we're kind of green this year, but boy, these guys are going to be good next year, and they're all, you know, nobody stays around.
Well, and I don't know if you've watched the documentary. I think it's called I Hate Christian Laettner. It was on
Netflix.
Yeah,
a long time. I've seen that.
Yeah, but it's been out a long time.
Yeah, it's fascinating to watch in this climate, though, because it shows, like, nationally, the whole basketball world is watching this kid from the moment he stepped on campus at Duke. And everybody watched him grow. And you saw the rivalries with, you know, the ACC schools and then the UNLV rivalries. And, like, everybody was invested in that because you watched this kid, you know, blossom into a superstar, whether you loved him or hate him. And that's just, that'll never happen again.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never have that experience in college athletics because he'll spend 1 year at Duke and then he'll either be in the NBA or he'll go somewhere else. Might be in North Carolina.
Well,
who knows?
Yeah, where would Michael Jordan have been in this environment? North Carolina could have paid to keep him.
Yeah.
You know, let's not talk about North Carolina. It's a lot of material. We could spend a whole show talking about North Carolina and who they hire as coaches. And I don't think I don't know where that program's going. What a mess.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very entertaining. I love it.
Well, yeah, I don't disagree with you.
Right, but to your point, Scott, I saw Tom Brady's done interviews, and he never started at Michigan. They rotated back, and he wanted to leave, and his dad wouldn't let him. And he's talked about how in this environment he said there for him it was good to be in that environment and to be and have to work and it made him a better player.
Right,
but you don't have that anymore.
No, if he could have jumped around from school to school, would he have ended up being Tom Brady?
Right,
or did he learn something by having to stay, honor a commitment, work things out, become a good enough player to start a few games? But he was behind Brian Griese for most of his career.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of lessons and things that are, I think we're teaching the wrong lessons with the portal and paying players and all of that kind of stuff. And I think long term, it is going to hurt the sport. You may not be able to point to a loss in viewership now, but I don't know any true college football fan who's happy with this, who likes this. I know some NFL fans who think this is great. This is just like the NFL. It's not like the NFL.
No, it's not.
And you're seeing that in the playoffs.
Because there are guardrails in the NFL. There aren't any.
That's
right.
Now
in college athletics.
Yeah. The NFL has mountains of rules to honestly level the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of that in college athletics.
But I think it's coming. I do think, I don't think this is a sustainable model with no guardrails.
No, and as we talked about, because I think of our conversation in the early fall when we talked about how ultimately there will be 35, 40 teams, schools that can they can do this, and it will affect, you know, the Iowa States or, you know, the Iowas or the, you know, all of the,
yeah,
the
Iowa
smaller.
State, Iowa State's going to have, if without some more rules, that type of program.
Yeah.
It's not picking on Iowa State, but
that's right. Well,
that type of program with a, you know, a smaller, less wealthy fan base is going to have a problem.
Yeah, and I think we talked in the fall. It was Iowa State who's facing, I think, $135 million shortfall in the next 10 years in their athletic budget. And then now they've lost their coach. They've lost their star quarterback who started for 3 years. So it's, you're seeing it now, you know, degradate some of these programs and consolidate talent in a handful of schools that have huge financial backers, like Indiana.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, and I think it was Oregon State is the example of where they got left out of all the expansion, and they're building this. They've either just built or in the process of building a brand new stadium, and now they don't have.
They can't pay for it.
No. They can't pay for the stadium.
Yeah.
Which means they can't pay to do what you have to do in the portal either.
Right.
So you're sort of caught, you know, going and coming. And there were a lot of schools that invested in facilities that just don't have the capacity to play this game.
No, you at UVA, the football facilities they have are just, I mean, they're pristine and large, and that's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what's Tony Elliott going to do this offseason?
Rebuild. I mean,
yeah, how many starters?
It was probably in the high teens.
Yeah.
For both
both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and they did very well as far as picking, and they had some, but they were there.
The analysis was phenomenal.
They did. They did a good job for, you know, but they had $20 million to do it with. But they did do it, and others didn't. But it'll be a whole new team.
Yeah, we're facing the same thing. I think everybody's going to every year. I'll be anxious to see how the top tier teams like Ohio State, Indiana, how many of their players enter the transfer portal. Because if they lose a ton, then that's just going to be the way it is.
It's more churn.
Everybody's going to have to rebuild every single year.
Yeah,
and you're not going to be developing talent. We were talking on the break about, you know, West Virginia. We had this great true freshman quarterback who had absolute moments of brilliance, which in the old system would have been exciting because you could build around them for 3 years. Mm-hmm. We're ready to get rid of them and sign somebody from Oklahoma. Because he might be a better quarterback today. We're not going to spend our time developing somebody when we can go buy somebody who's,
sure,
you know, ready to go.
Yeah.
Ready to play out of the box. It's a different world.
I think there'll be some sanity brought to this as more schools hire general managers. Because, like you pointed out, Scott, they're coming out of the NFL where there are guardrails, where there are rules, and you're asking them to manage the talent. And at some point, a group of them is going to say, enough of this nonsense. We've got to do something here.
We take a quick break. Continue on with Scott Majewski and Curry Roberts here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking college sports this morning. Scott Majewski is here, the Commissioner of Revenue in Stafford. Curry Roberts, the head of the Fredericksburg Regional Alliance. And we get together every now and then and talk college athletics. When we walked out of Scott Stadium on Thanksgiving weekend, after having beaten Virginia Tech, handily, I might say, I said, oh, it was just the sweetest of victories. But so then I was asked, are you going to go to Charlotte for the ACC championship game? And I looked at the weather forecast and saw it was going to rain that the next Saturday in Charlotte.
No. You can get a pop-up tent that's waterproof so your brie doesn't get wet.
It's nothing worse than watery Chardonnay.
It is. Exactly. It's really bad. But you can get sippy cups. You know, you can get caps and stuff like that. They've invented all kinds of stuff that you could still enjoy yourself.
As much as I wanted Virginia to play in the playoffs, I knew that if they had beaten Duke, they would have likely gone out to Oregon, and what happened to JMU would have happened to UVA.
So you still wouldn't have wanted that exposure?
I would have.
On a national stage?
I did want that, but I was not heartbroken. Because UVA beat Virginia Tech, my season was made.
Okay, so we can talk basketball now.
No, let's not talk basketball.
Because my basketball season's been made.
You beat UVA.
With down three players.
Oh, I know.
Two starters.
The officiating in that game is...
Well, the officiating is bad, period. Oh, it was bad both ways.
Yeah,
it was really a sloppily called game.
But with basketball and football these days, officiating is just highly questionable.
Yeah. Well, it was like the Tech Wake Forest game on Saturday, and I think, you know, the headline, I think in the Roanoke Times, was Tech loses a rock fight.
Yeah.
And it was. I mean, that was just imbalanced officiating. first imbalance to Wake Forest's detriment, and then to Tech's detriment late in the game.
But back to something that we talked about just before the break. Are we losing in college athletics? Because I'm not sure that we are. Because I think the Virginia Tech rivalry will be there. And some of these
so you
other
can wait
rivalries.
20 more years to beat us.
This is a new day. It's with NIL and everything.
Really?
No,
yeah, it's a new day. We got a hell of a coach.
I think we even things out. But anyway, have we lost that, do you think, in college athletics?
Well, I don't know if we've lost it yet. I think we're at risk of losing it. And I enjoy the banter you guys are having. And that's, I mentioned the difference in college and the NFL earlier. Like, that's it. That's it. Like, it's the rivalries, it's the regionalism, athletics, right, that's what it's about. If you're Virginia, you win your conference. If you're Tech, you go to the Orange Bowl, you win the Orange Bowl, beat up on the Pac-12 or Big 12 champ.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a season. You come back and you celebrate and everybody has fun. And we're losing that. And I'm not a fan of the playoffs because I think it's changing that culture.
Oh, it is.
Now, if you don't win, and only one out of 158 or however many teams can win, you're losing the fun out of it. I mean, the Pop-Tarts Bowl is stupid and goofy, but that's college.
Yes.
College is stupid and goofy.
Well, okay, to your point, I was surprised in watching the bowl games. They were pretty well attended. I was frankly surprised. I was expecting to see incredibly empty stadiums, and they weren't. I mean, you got UConn playing Army, and they pack Fenway, and it's miserable. I mean, you couldn't go sit in the rain. Those people were up there with a foot of snow on the ground.
Right.
And then, the Clemson-Penn State game, virtually sold out Yankee Stadium.
I wonder if it'll last. The longer this playoff mentality goes and the more they keep expanding, will it last? And I know I sound like a grumpy old man, and I'm by far the youngest in the studio. By far.
I don't think we need
to get carried away over there. I mean,
I don't think we need to.
I agree with you that you're the grumpiest. I don't know about the by far part.
But. Yeah, the by far. that crosses the line.
Well, to your point, I wish we'd go back to playing West Virginia every year as one of the out-of-conference games.
Yeah.
But you have very little incentive to do that other than, what the fans want. And, I'd like to drop our game with VMI and replace it with West Virginia at home. I think that'd be a much more interesting football game.
But like you said, there's no incentive to do that.
Nope.
That's a tough game for both schools. It'll hurt you to try and get in the playoffs. There's no point in playing it.
Because then the only way to make it is to win your conference. Given where those two schools are today.
Yeah, I think UVA losing to Duke, which propelled JMU into the playoffs, I think that is going to be a consequential game in restructuring the playoffs. Because had you all gone out to Oregon and gotten blown away, JMU could have sat on the sidelines and said, look, they didn't do it. They couldn't play there. Why don't we have a shot?
Mm-hmm.
But now the conversation's flipped. And it's like, you guys don't belong here. You didn't play enough good teams. And that was borne out on the field in Oregon. So I think that changed the conversation, that one game.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. But there was also an upside that Notre Dame got left out. And deservedly so, given how Miami has performed. Miami proved it. And I know you don't like them. I don't like them either. But they proved it on the field. And the irony of Miami, Tech scored more points on Miami than Ohio State did. And then we couldn't do squat when we got Charlottesville, but that's a whole nother story.
But again, this is also the difference between the traditional mindset of college football, where you had to be excellent, you had to show up every week and win, and the playoff mindset. That's all right that Miami lost to Louisville. Who cares? We get in the playoffs. You just have to get hot, or the other team has to have an injury or something, and you keep advancing. But that's like I said, that's a playoff mindset, which I need to get in because.
However, Miami did beat Notre Dame.
Yeah, by 1 point in the first game of the season.
Okay.
At home.
So?
So my question.
And Notre Dame then dropped, what was the only other game that they played, if somebody ranked?
Texas A&M.
They lost.
Yeah.
On the road by 2 points.
It doesn't matter.
And both early
Miami
in the season.
Only lost one game.
And we've always, they lost two. Miami lost two.
That's true.
SMU.
That's true.
SMU in Louisville. But it.
Well, a lot of people lost to SMU. They're good.
They might have the best looking uniforms in college football. They're great looking.
They are. The logo, yeah.
The pony, red pony, yeah. And that blue, great looking uniform.
That is one thing I was going to talk. To me, it's in rough shape as the ACC is. SMU was a good pickup because both in basketball and football, they've been very competitive. And I know when they came to Charlottesville a couple of years ago, they brought a lot of people, and they were happy. They were just thrilled to be in the conference. And
well, yeah, because they hadn't won a football game since Eric Dickerson left.
Right, yeah.
Who was the highest paid player at the time?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And number two was his backfield mate, Craig James.
Yes.
They were just ahead of the curve on
it. Yeah, right. That's it. That's
but no,
it.
As I look at the ACC, as much as I hate having Cal and Stanford just because they mean late night games or and when your team is out there, those schools too have been competitive and I think will
in
be
certain
in the future.
Sports. Yeah. 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 I think that's right. Stanford could afford to be competitive in any sport.
Right.
With their alumni base. Cal, a little bit different story.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, California schools are typically, pretty well backed by their alums.
But as we talk about the difficulties with NIL and with the portal and everything, it was wonderful last week to see Alabama get beat the way they did. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at those four, and again, you brought it up, Curry. The four teams, the final four teams, are not teams that we have seen in this position.
Yeah,
for quite a while. Miami,
Indiana, never. Miami in 25
Ole Miss,
years,
never.
Yeah,
back in the 50s.
Now there's somebody. I told somebody the other day I was really conflicted on the Ole Miss Miami game. I'm going to root for Miami simply because of the ACC. I feel bad for the Ole Miss players.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them succeed. But the problem is Lane Kiffin's going to go take credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want Lane Kiffin taking credit for it, but I feel sorry for those players because, I feel that way. I'd love it if he were just out of college football, but he's not. We beat them in the Chick-fil-A Bowl, and he just barely shook Frank Beamer's hand after and just walked off. Didn't say a word.
Yeah.
I mean, just completely classless.
He's going to be Butch Jones.
Yeah.
Butch Jones spent 20 years chasing dollars, mm-hmm. and at the end of his career, never won a damn thing.
Yeah.
And nobody even remembers he existed.
Right. No, that's good.
But he built maybe the greatest college football team of all time, that 0-1 Miami team, mm-hmm. and then left right before they won a championship because he's chasing money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm it always bothers me when I see that from a coach. That's got to be a character issue. And I wouldn't touch a coach like that with a 10-foot pole.
Well, and nobody wanted to touch Lane Kiffin, and the guy at Ole Miss, basically made Kiffin respectable again, and look what Kiffin did.
Yeah, the minute they made him respectable, he does the same thing he always does.
Right, right.
But that whole thing, you do wonder again the way the calendar is. Whether we'll probably see that every year with some big name coach. Although this was a playoff team, and
I think, if I'm right. That these GMs are going to force some sanity. I think that's going to calm down the coaching issue as well. I think this was a unique year where a lot of coaches who just can't coach in this system got fired. And it just opened up. It created just so many openings.
Well, and I wonder if the coaching salaries have exploded with all of this. And I wonder if part of that is you can now bring your entire team with you.
Yeah.
So you're worth more now because it's not just you and your staff. It's you, your staff, and potentially an entire team.
Unless you're Florida State.
Yeah.
Again, you have to choose wisely.
Yeah, they can't afford to buy him out.
Yeah. So, yeah, he may be there another couple years.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how – did the state pay off the guy they fired at LSU?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it is Louisiana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
At least the governor's not calling plays anymore like Huey Long was.
I don't know. This governor might be. Huey might have been a pretty good offensive coordinator. You know?
The other thing is, though, with these large conferences, just the schedules. And UVA certainly benefited by a schedule where they didn't have to play Miami, and they didn't. They missed and. Or Ohio State, same thing. Ohio State played a terrible schedule. In their schedule, they only played, I think, Texas and Michigan were the only two teams that had winning records during the regular season played. And it is because the conferences are so big. Even to go to nine games because the conferences are so large.
Mm-hmm. We play Stanford and Cal next year. Stanford comes to Blacksburg. We go back to Cal. And then we have to go on the road and play SMU, Miami, and Boston College.
Right.
We've got – this is the third time since the expansion that we have the longest travel schedule of any school in the ACC, which goes back to a point Scott keeps making, is you're destroying, you know, the regional rivalries that really – college football was built on it. You know, I also don't think that's sustainable.
No. No. Until the recent expansion in the Big 12, our closest geographic rival was Iowa State. And it's 1,300 miles away.
Really?
Yeah.
That is a great
It's insane.
Yeah.
Do you get Cincinnati every year?
Not every year, no.
Okay. Because that's your closest.
That's our closest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is geographically it's a rival, but it's really not. It was in basketball back 60 years ago, but it hasn't been since. But yeah, you just have to try and develop new rivals, but that takes a long time.
There were a few times to be totally upfront during the college football season, as Virginia was winning, I would text Scott and say, "I love NIL," and. These guys, you know.
No wonder you're so grumpy. You had to get these texts from Oahu telling you he loves NIL. I mean,
I finally had to get a rubber case for my phone because every time he'd text, I'd throw it across the room.
But there are definitely changes. But it has been kind of refreshing, Curry, for someone to say, "Well, there could be some change."
We'll look at our basketball programs.
Yeah.
Instant rebuilds.
Yep, happened at Virginia, certainly.
Using the portal.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I mean, we're competitive because of it this year, and, you know, UVA is having a good season for the same reason.
Yeah.
I've been wondering, one of the knocks, when we were looking for a coach last year, you know, people always mention – was it Army's coach and Navy's coach? Because they win.
Lincoln. Yeah.
Because they run that unique offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the knock always was, you can never hire them at a major school because if it doesn't work, it takes you 3 years to retool your roster because they're recruiting a completely different player.
Well, now
you can do it in a year.
Georgia Tech was that model.
Right. And it blew up on them.
It blew up on them.
Yeah.
It took them, 5 or 6 years to actually get back to a
program
because you were coaching into a very unique offense.
Yeah. If I was a GM now, I would take a shot at one of those guys because you can retool your roster overnight if it doesn't work.
Well, that and they can go get an offensive coordinator. You know, they're running the offense they're running because of who they can recruit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's why they do that. you take Jeff Monken and you put him in a different system, I think he can pivot.
Maybe. But the reason that offense works is because nobody runs it. So you don't know how to prepare for it.
Right.
So it's so unique. So I'd love to see him in a big school and see if that offense works. And I maybe somebody takes a shot at it because of the NIL. I don't know. But there's all these different nuances to NIL that are still going to play out.
Who did Navy beat in the bowl game?
I'm not sure. I forgot.
They beat him throwing the ball.
Hmm.
I mean, they were hurling the ball around the field, and I'm going, wait a minute, I thought this was Navy. Who's right. Who's in these uniforms?
Yeah.
I was trying to look it up. The cell service isn't good in here, Ted.
I'll work on that. We'll take a quick break. We'll see if we can figure that out. We'll conclude this morning with Scott and Curry as we talk college sports on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning as we talk college sports. Scott Mayowski and Curry Roberts talking about things. So I guess as we leave, Scott and I seem to have a more discouraging view of college sports. And Curry, you've said general managers will work this out. You know, just hang tight, lay low. It may work itself out. Well, it's going to be different. It's going to have a difference. It's obviously going to have a difference. It's not going to be what it always has been.
No, it's still going to be different, but they're going to get some guardrails. I mean, this is not, it's just not sustainable. And you've talked about the pros a couple of times, and professional fans or fans of professional sports. College fans are not professional fans. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm vested in the school because I went there. You're vested in West Virginia because you went there. You're only vested in the Steelers because you live there. If you live in Pittsburgh, it's a different concept.
It's a different
level of loyalty, and at some point, there are going to be fans starting to scream about it, and especially when you're having to increase your budgets, there's just going to have to be a cap to this stuff.
Well, and some schools are seeing donors. I think NC State was the latest, a big donor of theirs, pulled back and said, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, why am I giving you $150,000 every year?
Yeah.
And I'm hearing more and more of those stories. So, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it is completely different. Like, when we say we really are part of that school.
Correct.
And we are part of that team. And NFL fans, they're just not.
No.
They just like the team.
Well, it's and NFL fans are transactional. Where college fans are more vested. And that's why I think you're going to see, because you have to keep donors happy, donors aren't going to be happy if they're having to pony up another $20 million every year to keep you competitive in the portal, and yet your product is mediocre.
Yeah.
And you can't sustain anything. So that's why I'm this is a transitional time, and that's why I'm a little more optimistic than you two young guys.
Well, I'm very pessimistic, but I need to get more optimistic because I have so many more years of watching college sports than probably the two of you do. So I need to
I don't know. Really, given my last checkup, I might beat you, Scott.
Real quick, we've only got a couple of seconds. Who wins the national championship?
Yeah, it should be Indiana. If not, it's a crime.
I agree. Indiana.
I agree.
Indiana.
But wow. I think it'll be Indiana and Miami in the final.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Scott Curry, thank you very much. We'll do this again soon in the fall. Thank you. That's it. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.